This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a pain-free Friday for us doling out minutes on a mahogany, waxing up 100, 200 to bad, 80 broken, 80 bad. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dressing bus bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do that. All my friends that come around, fight to fight, party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs up down. What a mess of tons of tatter, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do the shake out. Ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Mafia, it seems like Dex is afraid to play in the 3-on-3 tournament with us.
I guess so. He doesn't want to step up with the big boys.
Carver, I wasn't having it either, because he could tell I asked him if he wanted to play, and he's like, when is it? Like, what is it, like, on a, is it, how many people? And like, he had all the runaround stuff, and Carver, I was like, you're either in or you're not. Like, either, like, end the conversation. We got the show to do here. Either you're in or you're not. Like, get out. What's it going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to get in and prepare myself for that. I don't think I'm ready for it.
Not ready.
No. Dex would be more up your alley.
I think he was piking, though.
It sounds like it.
It seemed like he was a piker. Listen, he has no
long
idea.
Long drive from where he lives out to where you're going to be playing.
Long drive, but a lot of lid at the other end. There's a means to an end. There's a lot of lid. I'm willing to drive for the right kind of basketball tournament. Check out.
Which isn't one that your kid's in.
No. My kid's in a game tomorrow, like an hour and a half from my house, and let's just say, A, I'm going, B, I'm not going, or C, oh, hell no.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Simmer down now.
Hell no.
Am I going to the hour and a half drive for the basketball tournament when he sits on the bench for 38 or 40 minutes? Oh, hell no!
Oh, my God! Hell with this.
Jeremy Kahn will join us tonight from the Fan in Baltimore, of course. Our good friend from Afternoons down in the Charm City, 1040 East, 740 West on that one. And then at the top of the hour, Jamie. Excuse me. Jamie Eisenberg, on all of your fantasies, you can call in or you can text your fantasy. Wait a minute. Is this fantasy football? Fantasy football playoffs start this weekend, so he'll answer all your fantasy football questions because you're a loser and he's a winner. All right. In key NFL, NFC matchups on Sunday, the Eagles travel to Dallas to try to continue their chase to the Cowboys of the NFC East. In the Sunday night game, the Rams take their high-scoring offense to the freezing cold sub-zero conditions off Lake Michigan in the Windy City at Soldier Field. That was a strong effort right there, Mafia. Very strong. So who's getting a Kyler or Tua tomorrow night in New York? Do they still call that the Touchdown Club? Carver, I and I are not members. Mafia's a member down there. I have no idea what's going on. The Bucks send Dellavedova, Downtown Athletic. What I call it, the Touchdown Club? That's what they should call it. Matt Dellavedova back to Cleveland along with John Henson and draft picks for G. Hill, George Hill. Good move for the Bucks. What do you think? Tell me tonight. We got it all going on. I'm watching late NBA rack. I got college rack, TCU, USC. There's more than that. Is that game, I think that Arizona State game, right? That really good game tonight is a college game. That one's at Staples at like midnight, I think, right? Is that about right? I think it's 9 West.
It's late night, yeah. It's about 11 our time probably, or yeah, 11 or
maybe 12, it's right it's this tournament or something. That's what they're playing in, the one that's going on right now with TCU and USC, I guess.
Most likely, because there was a game already played there earlier. I saw our boy Aaron Torres tweeting about it because he's there.
Yeah, because I think tonight, believe it or not, yeah, I'll just never be able to figure it out. I don't know why, but I've been chasing that game for like a day. Remember I told you last night there's a game, Mafia? I go, there's a game at like midnight. And it's like, it's Nevada and like Arizona State. It's tonight at Staples, believe it or not, at midnight. It's rocking tonight. It's all happening. Anyway, there you go.
So West Coast hoops.
Well, believe me, it's a good game. They're both undefeated.
Especially on a Friday night when you get the light schedule because it's usually loaded for Saturday. There's not a lot of college football tomorrow. We got something to look forward to. It's good.
It is. It's better than, I'm sure, hearing me talk about our old, white, fat, washed rec league games.
Yes, that is true. And I'm part of that team, and it's still better
than that. No, it's not true. Anyway, PharrellOnTheBench.com is rocking during the holidays with tons of picks. Army-Navy tomorrow. Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Oakland, Rams, Chicago on Sunday night. PharrellOnTheBench.com. All my bowl games are posted. NBA, college rack all weekend, NHL all weekend, boxing. There's a big UFC card in Toronto. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. You will not regret it. It's cheap. The return is fantastic. Don't forget tomorrow, episode 89, Saturday of Pharrell and the Bets, my Westwood One sports betting show. It's a 30-minute podcast, comes out Tuesday to Sundays in the morning on iTunes, Google Play, WestwoodOnePodcast.com. Follow me on Twitter. Subscribe free to the show. The Twitter handle is onthebets, WWO, 855-212-4227 to get benched on a pain-free Friday. Got a lot going on tonight. Later this hour, Jeremy Kahn of Baltimore, the Fan, talking about that Ravens game against the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So did you see some of these injuries? Like, is Matt Stafford, he's questionable for that game this weekend, isn't he? And then I believe so.
He is.
Are they playing Arizona?
I believe so,
something like
yes.
That. And then that one's at Arizona. And then Chiefs wide receiver Sammy Watkins likely out until the playoffs. He's got a foot injury. Kelvin Benjamin will basically get a tryout.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, you already said he's super lazy and
he's a stiff.
He doesn't
call
try.
Like it is. He's a stiff. He'll find that out this Sunday.
They'll find that out. So there are great games this week, and obviously, you know, on Sunday in the NFL, and we've been talking about some of these games this week. The Eagles and Dallas. This is the Eagles' shot, right? Is this their? I mean, is this not their whole season? I mean, this is it, right? It's on the line right now. They have their chance. Because they're playing Dallas. They got to win this game. If they win the game, they can win the East. If they lose the game, right, they're toast. And right now they're 500, but this is a huge game. They win, they can go over 500, and they will have won three in a row if they can get it done. But then they go play the Rams in L.A., and we already saw what they did against the Saints. They got their ass beat. So they'll go to L.A. and get their ass beat. I think the Rams will beat their ass. And then they play the Texans at home. That won't be easy either. They're the hottest team in football. I don't care what anybody says. And then they finish at the Redskins. Do the Eagles go to Dallas and win the game or not? There's been a lot of a Dak, a lot of Zeke, a lot of Amari. I mean, they have changed. That team's gotten better since they got Amari Cooper. There's no doubt about it. And I think the thing that goes unnoticed is their defense. The defense is what impressed me with the Cowboys over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Especially what they did to the Saints last week, which is very few, if any, have shut the Saints down this year. So to do that really impressed me. I just feel like the Eagles, you know, one last stand here. This is it. It's over if they lose this game. The Cowboys would virtually have a 3-game lead in the East with 3 to play. I mean, it would be only 2 in the standings, but they would have beaten them twice, so tying them would be no good. You know, it's I got a feeling the Eagles are coming to play on Sunday.
Do you think the guy, this guy that nobody's ever heard of before.
The guy who said the line about the joke all the time.
Yeah, but
he's an idiot.
But that he took it back is even worse.
Well, that's even worse. You look like even more of a
You might as well just run with it.
Exactly.
If you say it, run with it. But this whole deal of, like, apologizing to your coach and taking it back, Is that not weaker?
No, I mean, that it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not like that's going to make a difference in this game to take it back and, okay, it's all good. These teams hate each other.
I think it makes him look pathetic. It
makes him look pathetic, but it's not – whether he comments about that or not, for the game, it matters nothing. Like, these guys know what's at stake. It's pretty much the division's up for grabs this weekend because the Cowboys' schedule after this is a lot easier than the Eagles, like you said, and that'll be a two-game cushion then, and there's no way the Eagles are coming back if they get down two games with three left with the teams that they have coming up. This is a huge game, but like you said, I'm with you. The Dallas defense looks so good, and they've looked good for a couple weeks, and the way that they could just not only control the game with the running game with Ezekiel Elliott, but now they have Cooper that makes them that little more dangerous, that extra dimension, that when you start to creep up and you put eight in the box, if he gets open, if he can actually keep his hands on it, because he's had his trouble with drops over the last years, if he keeps his hands on it, he's burning you. It makes him much more aggressive on offense and lets them even open things up on defense, because if they know they can score, then they can just unleash those pass rushers even more.
Did you see the guy, Barnett, on that team that had to go home to Nashville? His brother died in, like, a car crash or something for the Eagles.
Really?
Yeah, I guess he's out. Brother of Eagles defensive end Derek Barnett. His brother died in a car crash. That's horrible. Anyway, that's just horrible. So rest in peace for that dude. Anyway, the other games that I think that people are interested in, obviously the Ravens and Chiefs. The Ravens are trying to catch the Steelers, obviously, in the North. They've been hot. They're 7-5. They're 500 on the road. Chiefs are unbeaten at home. They're 10-2 overall. Mahomes, everybody's saying, right, pretty much MVP. Is he the guy? So would you give him the MVP? And do the Chiefs handle their business against the Ravens, or do the Ravens continue their hot streak and catch the Steelers? They're going for four in a row.
I guess it has to be him right now. The amount of touchdowns that he's thrown with the Chiefs record, you'd have to think him. Him or Gurley, maybe? You could put Gurley in there also, I think. I don't think Gurley gets enough love this year. He's had a monster year.
How about how they turn this Flacco practicing into a story? He could back up Lamar Jackson on Sunday. Like, okay, whatever. But he's never – is that not accurate, going to take his job back?
He's not taking his job back.
So that's a done deal.
Sure seems that way.
So he's finished there.
Right, the last thing you're going to do when your team was struggling all year and pretty much out of the playoff picture – is then go back to this guy who was doing that after Lamar Jackson came in, had a resurgence, and got this team rolling again where they got a couple wins. And not only are you talking about them getting that last playoff spot, you're talking about them even possibly catching up to the Steelers and taking the division. So the last thing you're going to do is say, hey, let's go back to the guy that was losing all those games.
Let me say this. Did you see that? I just got sprayed with coffee. Anyway, what I wanted to say was is that the Ravens have the number one defense in the NFL. Did you know that? So overall, number one defense. And they got this exciting young quarterback, right? Do you really think they should, like, remember all the talk about fire John Harbaugh? Do you really think they should fire that guy at the end of the season the way that team's playing right now? Like, at the end of the year, this is all that matters is, to me, December and January. That's it. So if they get in, let's say they get hot, which they are right now, and stay hot. Let's say they win. Let's say they go to Arrowhead and win, and then they're officially on fire! And then they take on Tampa and then go to San Diego and the Browns. They can beat the Bucs and Browns easily. The game against L.A. in L.A. at StubHub is going to be hard. But that's a good football team. If they win out, let's say they went out and steal the division somehow from the Steelers because the Steelers are melting like an ice cream cone. Certainly you don't fire John Harbaugh, do you? Remember they were talking about firing this guy like 4 weeks ago. He's out.
If they were going to miss the playoffs, I think they would have done it. I personally wouldn't. I think he's a good coach. But I think if they would have missed the playoffs again, he would have been out.
But if you have the number one defense and you have a great young quarterback, which is what they have, I mean, this guy's a super athlete, right? We already know that. We saw that at Louisville. The guy won the Heisman. He's no joke. If that guy plays like the way he's been playing, I mean, the future is very bright there, isn't it? So why get rid of him? He knows how to coach. Did he not win a Super Bowl?
Well, here's the thing that you got to think about, too, is that Ozzie Newsome stepping down after the season. That was planned before the year was done. So you're going to get a new GM in there. It might be from within the organization. I don't know offhand if it's some guy that they already named or what. But either way, when you bring in a guy to take that position, usually they want to put their stamp on it. They want their coach. Now, if it's someone who's in within the organization, maybe they've been around Harbaugh, they like him, and maybe they'll keep him. But for a lot of guys, when they get that spot, they want their guy.
I guess. I mean, but if a guy can get fired like McCarthy, 9 and 11 years playoffs and 4 title games and a Super Bowl ring, and he can get fired, then you can get fired when the sun comes up.
Especially when Harbaugh hasn't had the same success after a Super Bowl that McCarthy had.
I just think they shouldn't fire him, is all I'm saying. I don't think that there's any reason where it wouldn't happen. Like, they'll fire a guy when the wind blows, right? So here I am looking at Staples Center, too, Mafia, from above as they're having this TCU game. I got to tell you, I thought it was – like, because I've been to Staples Center a million times, but there's something about it. Like, tell me that wasn't badass being around the Staples Center and it's 70 degrees and there's a breeze and everybody's just sexy.
It was awesome. It was my first time out around the Staples Center. I mean, we've been to L.A. and other parts, like, outside the city. We never really were downtown, though. So for me to go down there and see the Staples and be in there and that history – it was amazing for me.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. It's a great spot for everything. It's jumping this year, too, with LeBron, believe me. I wouldn't fire Harbaugh. That's me right now. I'd keep him because I think that they have everything in place to be good still. I mean, there's nothing like having the number one defense. Believe me, they're going to be in that game on Sunday. I really don't think they're getting whacked in that game because they're so tough defensively. I think that's going to be a brawl. But everybody talking about, well, Kansas City's going to have to step up their defense, too. You know, they could have a big day with their defense. I don't even think they have a defense. That's just my opinion, right? I mean, the Patriots went up and down the field on them. A lot of teams score on them. They just outscore everybody. I think the Ravens have a legit D, and I don't think the Chiefs have a legit D. I think the Chiefs have a super legit offense, and it's changed, obviously, without – Hunt, there's no doubt about it, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Jeremy Kahn does afternoons on 105.7 The Fan in the Charm City in Baltimore. The Ravens have a huge game at Arrowhead against the Chiefs, one of the best in the NFL this weekend. My man, Jeremy.
What's up, Scotty? How are you?
Chilling. How you doing, brother? Happy holidays.
Same to you, man. Just getting ready for, big Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. So I got to tell you, we were talking about the Ravens earlier in the show and Harbaugh's status. And I got to tell you, with this guy, Lamar Jackson, the way he looks, and then with that defense being the best in the NFL again, like they used to be, I really don't see anything at all like that convinces me that it would be a good idea to get rid of him. There's been a lot of talk that he's on the outs in Baltimore. Is all that true, and where do you think this heads?
Yeah, I mean, there was a story that came out a couple weeks ago saying that they were going to mutually part ways. I don't think that's the case now. If they keep winning and playing the way they've been playing, why would they get rid of Harbaugh? They'd probably bring him back.
I mean, do you think that if they are playing this kind of football and they have a quarterback like this guy, that's just not a good decision, is it, to fire him?
No, I don't think it'd be a good decision, especially after, what all has happened here. I mean, eventually, we just saw it with McCarthy and some people expected to have with Marvin Lewis, these long tenured coaches. They're eventually going to move along. But, with what's happened here in Baltimore, the resurgence, the way the team's winning, it's been kind of crazy. I mean, the big question we have here is the way they're playing, is it sustainable? I mean, can you keep running the football like this and having success? Because the Ravens have beat up on, 3 bad teams, and now this is their first real litmus test.
So do you think that, because one of the problems, I think, has been Lamar's turnovers. Obviously, he's I think, turned it over 3 or 4 times, and that's in those starts. Are they obviously concerned about that? But, I mean, is he freaking out about it, or is it just part of the, price of doing business?
No, I mean, he seems cool as a cucumber, but, we all have our questions about it. I mean, even last week in Atlanta, they put the ball on the ground, and Lamar was responsible for 3 of them, and they only lost one of those turnovers. So, he's had the interceptions the first couple games, but clearly that part of it's got to get better. And they can't be having penalties either to set them back if they're going to keep running this style of offense where, they're predominantly running and controlling time of possession. They've had the ball 44 minutes of offense more than the teams they played the last 3 games combined.
Isn't that the key? Jeremy Kahn with us from the Fan of Baltimore. The key to the game for them is to have the ball and keep that offense of the Chiefs on the sideline twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah, because, I mean, the best sometimes your best offense is a good defense with keeping Mahomes off the field. And we know they got quick strike ability with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce is one of the best in the game. I mean, they got 2 guys over 1,000 yards already. The loss of Kareem Hunt makes you wonder, you know, I still think they're going to run the football efficiently, but, you know, he was a playmaker. I think the Ravens have a realistic shot of winning this game. But, you know, even if they play him tight, I think it gives fans here a little bit of hope that, you know, they could make a push. And if they got in the playoffs, you know, all bets are off that this team could make a run.
So I saw the picture of Joe Flacco wearing like a Dolphins uniform. Do you see that happening? Like, where do you think Joe Flacco ends up? Because he's now, I guess, what, practicing again, ready to go again, but he's not going to go again. But is he going to go out of Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, with they were waiting for some of his guaranteed money for that contract. I mean, he still has another year in his deal, and it's kind of weird how it's structured because I believe they'd have to wait until after June 1st next year to cut him. To actually save the most amount of money. But, you know, depending on what's happened down in D.C. with Alex Smith, I mean, could that be a spot? You know, you mentioned the Dolphins. People talk about Jacksonville. I mean, there's a handful of teams. And even though that he seems like he's kind of a middle-of-the-pack guy in this league, at best, somebody's going to be looking for him. These guys keep getting paid. I mean, Sam Bradford was collecting paycheck after paycheck for not doing much in this league.
So do you think they're going to – because I just have this feeling that they're going to catch the Steelers in that division.
I mean, here's the big question. We were kind of laughing about it because, you know, that tie looms large. But with the half game, the Ravens still have games against at the Chiefs and at the Chargers. And the Steelers still have to play the Saints and the Patriots. And realistically, the Ravens have to go 3-1 down the stretch, and Steelers go 2-2. And I mean, they pass them, but it's a tall task, but they'd have to win one of those road games.
So you need the Steelers to split, and you need to win three.
Yeah. Or if the Ravens run the table, and I mean, that doesn't seem as likely, but, you know, they've won three in a row. They're kind of playing with house money now. I do think they're going to end up with that last playoff spot with the way they've been playing.
So how did this defense get so good with Suggs really – at the end of the day, not having – like, he's starting to tail off, if you ask me. He's not what he was, but, I mean, he's still – I'll give him this. He leads him in sacks. He's been doing his job in regards to getting to the quarterback. But usually, you know, he was a ball eater before, and now there's so many other guys like Mosley and like, Jefferson Weddle that are making plays for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of young guys on there. They've got two guys, Suggs and Za'Darius Smith, with 6.5 sacks on the season, and – you know, there are a couple other players that have a few sacks, but not really that one or two guys that get after it and have, you know, close to double-digit sacks. Like when you look at some of the best defenses around the league, they got guys that get after the quarterback consistently. But and they haven't been getting the turnovers really that much this year. Now, the past 3 weeks they have, but, you know, they're kind of hoping that, you know, moving forward. I think they got healthy in the secondary, and, you know, this is one of the deepest secondaries in the league. Nobody's talking about it, but, you know, Jimmy Smith coming off his Achilles injury is playing better now. Marlon Humphrey, Pro Football Focus, is grading him out as, you know, one of the better corners in the league. So they've got some pieces there on defense, but and it's kind of been a collective group. And the fact that Lamar's keeping them fresh, you know, they've been having a lot of success on that side of the ball getting stopped.
I won't deny, though, that T-Sizzle still has mad game. I mean, he's making tackles for loss. He's forcing fumbles. He still does his thing. I just remember a time when he was the guy that led the team in tackles and everything else, and he was crazy. So 16 seasons. Can you even believe that?
Yeah, I mean, when he came in the league, he was the youngest player ever drafted. And then I think a few years later, the Texans had drafted Amobe Okoye. And, you know, Suggs, when his first contract was up, you're like, man, he's barely 25, you know. And it's kind of crazy to think about where he's – you know, if you actually look at all his numbers, my co-host, he votes in the Hall of Fame, and I don't know how this guy doesn't get in the Hall of Fame. When you look across the board at all his numbers, it's pretty remarkable.
So, Jeremy Conwood, I got to ask you about Tucker, the guy, because at the end of the day, this game could come down to a field goal at Arrowhead for sure, and so could playoff games. And you still have, in my view, the best kicker in the league. When he missed that extra point this year, and what was it, against the Saints, and everybody freaked out, and his eyes were like zombied and everything, and we all just lost it. We're like, what do you do when a guy that's never missed in his life misses? You just you don't know what to do. But since then, that guy has recovered like it never happened, and he could be the difference maker for them in this game and in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's one of the best weapons in football, and you know, not only do I think he's the best kicker in the league now. I mean, statistically, when you look at his numbers and where he's kicking from, I think he's the best kicker of all time. And he's been consistently doing it. The weird thing is he hadn't missed an extra point since high school football. You know, and it's kind of crazy he misses one there. And even the field goal he made earlier in that game kind of looked a little wobbly and broke back in front of the bar at the last second. And it wasn't like a long field goal. But that guy's been money 60 yards and in. And, you know, fans, they were looking at his numbers earlier this year that he hadn't missed a field goal 60 yards and in outside of five that were blocked. And you can maybe blame that on him because he got to kick it with a low trajectory. But he's so damn good, it's ridiculous. One of the best weapons in football.
He's 4 for 4, 50-plus. I mean, the guy, the longer the kick, the better he gets. That's really crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, for the failures the Ravens have had at finding wide receivers in the draft, they've always done good drafting front seven guys, and they've always found good kickers for whatever reason.
So what do you think of Jackson as a pro quarterback? You know, people are already saying he's going to get his head taken off. Do you see him being in the lineage of guys that have been, you know, star running quarterbacks as fast as he is with ankle break capability? He's got it all. He's a freak. But do you see him – how do you see him throwing the ball, and how do you see him lasting running the ball? Any different than any of the others, Vic or et cetera, Randall Cunningham, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't – the accuracy hasn't been there, and I wonder how much at this level it can get better. You know, when I think back about Vic, and they would have some design runs for him, you know, a lot of his big plays where he would just gash the defense, he was dropping back to pass. Even before his receiver's getting routes, he's taken off, and now he's just got to beat a linebacker to the outside, you know, and he's running for 30 or 40 yards. With Lamar, the way they've been using him, you know, they've been basically running a read option. It's not even like an RPO because there hasn't been any threat to drop back and pass off those plays. In this league, to be successful over the long haul, I think he has to become a better passer. And look, there's no reason to just sit here and bang on him right now because he's three games in. He's going to get better, but it depends how much better he can get.
So what do you think of, you know, when you look at the AFC and you see, you know, the teams that are, you know, still alive and still in it, and that you're, you know, right now, obviously a wild card team without a doubt with, I think, Tennessee and the Chargers. So it comes down to, I think you're ahead of Tennessee right now, and it's you and the Chargers that would be in at this point. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And then the Ravens also, they went down to Tennessee and beat them. That game they had 11 sacks. So they have a tiebreaker over Tennessee unless there ends up some goofy three- or four-way tie. I think a lot of people were looking at the Colts as well, even though they're underdogs this week to the Texans, because their schedule is relatively easy. And you know, other people were saying, look at the Broncos' schedule. They have four games remaining that are, I mean, that they could win all four of those games. So could they make a run if somebody should falter? But, I mean, the Ravens are in the driver's seat right now with that sixth spot. And, you know, again, you mentioned that they still have a shot at the division, albeit maybe some people aren't buying into that.
Wow, it's going to be crazy. So do you actually think they win the game at Arrowhead or not?
I think I picked the Chiefs to win 27-24. I think they're in it. I just still have my questions about if they fall behind, you know, 10, 14 points on the road, can Lamar bring them back and consistently throw the ball down the field? Because what they're doing right now is working. It just all matters what happens when you get slapped in the face. You know, how do you react to that? And we haven't seen that with Lamar quite yet.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game, though, I think. Jeremy, always a pleasure, brother. Have a great holiday, New Year, everything else. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. All the best to everybody down in the Charm City.
Thanks, man. Anytime.
All right, Jeremy Kahn does afternoons on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Mafia, who do you like, the Ravens or the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the cold on Sunday? Because you know it's going to be cold there.
I like the Chiefs in that game. I know the Ravens have been hot. They've done great since Lamar Jackson has taken over, and their defense has been, you know, a lot better since they get some rest, as Jeremy said. But for me, the big thing is that team has just been run. Maybe at some point they'll show that he can throw the ball and he'll surprise us all, but that's not an offense that's built to come from behind. And when you play the Chiefs, you got to be more explosive and have a chance to come from behind because that's where you're going to be playing most often. So I don't think they're built for that.
All right, Jamie Eisenberg is coming up. So what I want you to do is pick it up, dial and dance. Get ready. Call now. What are you waiting for? Your fantasy decisions are atrocious. Get on the phone. Call up Jamie and say, what do I do for the playoffs on Sunday, pain day? What do I do? Who do I start? Who do I sit? Who do I deal? What am I going to do to win in the playoffs and win my league that I'm in? Jamie knows more than you. You're terrible. He's great. Admit that, feel it, and then just run with it. Call now, 855-212-4227. That's toll-free 855-212-4CBS to get on with Jamie Eisenberg. If there's enough of you, we'll do two segments, which is two first half, second half, big, giant, fatty, gaddy segments with Jamie. You call, we rage. You don't call, we'll shut her down at halftime, Romeo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.